Welcome to a special edition of the weekly Daily Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Keith Fleming. With me, as always, the guy giving you Adam Thielen, Keenan Allen, Deontay Johnson. You're on fire, Joe Matz. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. Just did my shopping for my three-person Thanksgiving this year.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we're actually doing sort of a similar deal where we're in Hilton Head. Normally, it's a big family ordeal. We're just with my wife, the in-laws, and her sister and husband. So it's much smaller this year. I hope everybody is being safe. If you're wondering why we're recording this on a Tuesday night, we're actually going to do two podcasts this week. Since there's three games on Thursday, we're going to do basically just a preview of the Thursday games because there's a ton of lineups out there where you play all three. You can play all three games. You can do one, but I think the most interesting one is to play all three games on Thursday. And then we'll come back in the week, probably Friday, and record an episode for the Sunday and Monday games. Just a heads up, we're going to do it a little different today with only being, three games, six teams. We normally go through, as you know, and give you three players each at each position. We give you a high-tier pick, a middle tier, a bargain tier. It doesn't really make a sense with that few players. So me and Joe are actually going to do three lineups each of just the guys on Thursday and try it that way. But before we get in, I just want to brag again on this week that we had last week. And, it was arguably the best week we've had this season. And, even like at quarterback, Lamar Jackson got 17.54 points. I was disappointed, but that won't kill you. Cam Newton had a good game at 22.2 points. I told you how much I like Jameis Winston. I went on the Facebook page, told everybody Taysom Hill, once he was named the starter, you should play him. He had 23 points. Joe with just the Justin Herbert. it was right there. We should have all seen it. I talked about how bad the Jets secondary was. 6,700, he scored 30 points. He's unstoppable right now.
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's ridiculous. Even at running back, like Mike Davis got us 15.9 points. Kalen Ballage, 14.1. Unfortunately, Nyheim Hines killed me in several lineups. Miles Sanders also didn't have a great game. DeAndre Swift obviously was a scratch, but Antonio Gibson, one of your plays, was great, 17.4 points. Again, at receiver, Terry McLaurin obviously disappointed with 13.4 points, but that won't kill you. But boy, the other plays at receiver were so good for us. I gave you Justin Jefferson at 6,000. He scored 17.6 points. I talked about how I thought CeeDee Lamb would score a touchdown at 5,000. He did. He had 16.6 points. And then Joe's receivers, his top two, goodness gracious. Keenan Allen, 7,400, 38.5 points. Adam Thielen, 6,100, 35.3 points. Happy to say that won me some money. I hope that won you some money. I know it won some of my friends some money. Anybody listening to the podcast, goodness gracious, you play both those receivers. You were in a very good place, and it was not that hard to do at 7,400 or 7,400 and 6,200. Tight end again, a good week. Mark Andrews, we both loved him, 4,900. He scored 20 points. You had Dallas Goedert, 3,800. He scored 18.7 points. Even TJ Hockenson, I believe, had like 14.2 points. And then our flex, I had Keenan Allen there. We talked about 38.5 points. We both had Deontay Johnson, who had 26.10 points. And then throw in for good measure, you had Michael Thomas at 22.4 points. We've been saying it for weeks, and I don't want to get cocky because, this is fantasy football, but we spend a lot of time, researching this, and we've gotten pretty good at this. Like, we've kind of figured out the trends to look, especially, I think, the teams to try to attack. And it was another great week.
It was. I know in the morning I was freaking out a little bit. I texted you. I was like, man, only a few of these are hitting. And then, the second half of the early games. And then, those afternoon games, we had some huge games.
It was funny, though, when you sent me that text, there was like seven guys we had with a touchdown already in the first half of the early games. And I'm like, oh, it's okay, man. We're doing okay. So again, this week we're going to do something a little different. This is not our normal stick. We normally give you three players each position, expensive, medium tier, bargain tier. But this week we're going to do three lineups. And if you have these guys, Joe, you know, as we go over them in that first lineup, let's just go ahead and talk about them. I think that would make the most sense. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, my quarterback in all three lineups is the exact same. Deshaun Watson is 7,400. And if you take away the Windstorm game a few weeks ago against Cleveland, I think that was 2 weeks ago, since week five, he is averaging north of 30 points per game. That's a five-game stretch. Now he gets a Lion defense on a short game or a short week inside a dome. We all know the run defense is, like, terrible, but the secondary is not much better. They give up 270 yards per game, almost two touchdowns, 66% completion, and a QBR of almost 100, 97.80. And when you look at this, it's even worse because they played these quarterbacks, Mitchell Trubisky, Gardner Minshew, Phillip Rivers, Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, and Phillip Walker. That's over half their games are not above, you know, average quarterbacks. Watson is absolutely an above average quarterback. The Lions have given up two or more touchdowns through the air in six games and three or more in three. Do not overthink this. To me, Watson is the only safe play at quarterback this week because the other two quarterbacks I really like is Jackson because of his running ability and Big Ben. We know how that Ravens-Steelers game is. There is other options because both Dallas and Washington are very successful, you know, to the pass. I mean, even Detroit, but, you know, if Stafford plays, I could see that. But I'm going to spend the money. And again, in all three lineups, I'm going to play Watson. It's mainly because Duke Johnson, I just don't see him getting a bunch of carries. They're going to score through the air, move the ball through the air. And, you know, if Duke Johnson was going to have a good week, this is the week to do it. But I still think that they're going to pass predominantly to move the ball and score. And I just think Watson's going to put on a show because it's kind of an annual tradition, right, for the Lions to get creamed in that 12 o'clock game. At least that's very what it true. Feels like in my life growing up is every year they get smoked. And I can see Deshaun Watson throwing for 350, three, four touchdowns, and he gets the, you know, the turkey leg or whatever at the end of the game. Do you have Watson in any of your lineups?
I do. I only put him in one of my three, but the thing I noticed when making my line, because I was like, I don't want to use the same quarterback in all of them. And what happened with the other two lineups is I ended up with money left over. Whereas the one with Watson, I think I had $100 left. Because it's hard when you're only dealing with three games to really like hit those maxes, where when you have 11 or 12 games, it's easier to find just the right combination. But I mean, I'm with you. He's the only safe play. Because when you look at it, you've got three teams in Pittsburgh, Washington, and Baltimore. They're all top 10 in passing defense DVOA, top 10 in passing yards allowed, at least tied for the top 10 in passing touchdowns allowed, and they're all top 10 in adjusted sack rate. So these are teams that have solid coverage, they get pressure. So those are just tough matchups. Like Big Ben against Baltimore, I think he scored 15 last time. None of the wide receivers on Pittsburgh broke 15 points in their last matchup against Baltimore. You know, Lamar's going to get you points because of his legs. But, I mean, do you want to spend $6,800 on him and he gives you like 18 again like he did against Pittsburgh? Or, to me, it's easy. You spend the extra $600 on Watson. So, for me, I'm just kind of wiping those two guys and Andy Dalton off the board because I don't know why you would play Andy Dalton against a good defense. So for me, yeah, Watson, 100%. He's the safe play. In my other two lineups, I split. One was Alex Smith, who, I mean, just did not come through for me last week. But, I mean, if he can't come through against Cincinnati and Dallas back-to-back, never play Alex Smith. He's only 5,400.
Warren had a good game the first matchup. Logan Thomas had a first game, you know, the first matchup. And that was, who was the quarterback for that one? Was it DiNucci or was it the guy before DiNucci?
I honestly couldn't even tell you anymore. But
it was a really bad quarterback.
The Dallas pass defense leads the league in touchdowns allowed, 24. They've only picked off three passes on the year. They're 31st, I believe, in QB rating allowed. And then Stafford, if Stafford's thumb was healthy, I'd be all in on him.
I'm with you.
But he obviously they got shut
and so
out.
So many guys that have questionable tags. You got Hawkinson, you got Swift, you got Galladay. It's like, what is going on?
Because Houston's very similar to Dallas. They do have one good corner in Bradley Roby, but the rest of that defense, the other corners are bad. They're 32nd, so they're dead last in QB rating allowed. They've only picked off a league worst two passes while giving up 19 touchdowns. So I think, and I think there's also an argument to playing Stafford or Smith because you have to figure a lot of people are going to be putting Deshaun Watson in their lineups. So there might, there could be greater value in going with these guys. But again, the problem with playing that way is, again, when I did this, I ended up with money left over. So I don't know if there really is hidden value there or not. If you don't want to go Watson, I would play one of those two guys and spend extra other places. But, I mean, yeah, Watson is just so far ahead of everybody else in on Thanksgiving for what you, I mean, he's got the highest ceiling and the highest floor. So
And there's no, you know, again, the fact that it's in a dome is such a big deal to me. It's like, yeah, you don't have to worry about any other factors. Will right. Fuller and Brandon Cooks are going to be flying all over the place. Right.
Well, yeah, like you said, the only time he hasn't shown up this year is Cleveland in a wind rainstorm. So I'm not worried.
All right, so let me finish out this first line, and then we'll let you go through yours. And again, if you have any of these players, let's go ahead and kind of discuss some details. I got, again, so Watson's my quarterback for this lineup. Then I went Antonio Gibson at 6,000 from a running back. He's going to be in a couple of lineups. He's coming off another good game. He had 16 carries for 94 yards, a touchdown. In the earlier meeting, he had his best rushing game of the season. He had 20 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. Dallas gives up 126 yards per game on the ground. They've given up 9 touchdowns. Since week 4, only 3 teams have not eclipsed the 120-yard rushing total against them. Those teams were the Giants, Eagles, and Steelers, which, I mean, I know the Steelers kind of have this, you know, perception, but no offense, they're not really a run-first team anymore either. The Giants and Eagles definitely don't run the ball great. And then they've given up 7 touchdowns in that stretch of 5 games, or 6 games, excuse me. And only 2 games during that stretch have they not given up a touchdown. So I just like Gibson. He's on fire. He seems to be one of those guys that they're giving him more and more responsibility each week. He's definitely separated himself as the lead back. And it's kind of like what we've talked about, a lot of guys. Eventually, his value is going to catch up to him. I feel like he's still undervalued, and that's why he's in, I think, 2 of my lineups, but not all 3. Or he might end up being in all 3. I can't remember. I have to look.
Yeah, I put him in all 3 this week. I think this
is
one of the,
in all 3.
Yeah, he's in all 3 of the ones I did. Yeah, so we're unanimous on Gibson. This is an interesting case where if you look on DraftKings, they have Dallas as the 10th best defense against running backs. But that's entirely because they limit running backs in the pass game. They only give up a little over 3 receptions and under 20 yards per game to running backs. They have not allowed a passing touchdown to running backs this year. So this is the week to stay away from McKissick. We've been riding him recently, and it's mostly worked out. But this week, I'd steer clear. But like you said, the actual run defense is really bad. And this is not a game where I don't expect Dallas to just, like, stomp on Washington and turn this into a game where they have to throw 40 times. So I expect a heavy dose of Gibson and, like, again, unanimous. We did 6 lineups combined, and we have him on every one. So all in on Antonio Gibson.
So my other running back in this lineup, and it's the only lineup I'm using him in, and obviously I got to check back because we don't know, but it's DeAndre Swift at 6,500. He's got a clear concussion protocol. I'll go ahead and tell you, if he doesn't, I'm actually going to have a bunch of money saved over, and I'm going to go with Duke Johnson in this lineup just because – there's other backs I could put in, but I feel like this Lions-Texans game is the one that's going to be the most high scoring. So you're going to see the most players consistently from that game in my lineups. The Texans give up 145 yards on the game, or I mean on the ground per game, over 5 yards a carry, 12 touchdowns. They also give up 4.5 receptions to running backs for almost 10 yards per catch. In the last 2 games, before missing last week's game, he was averaging 14.5 carries per game. And in both, he also drew 5 targets out of the backfield. So you're seeing 20, you know, carries slash targets. That he is the offense. And if you needed to see any more proof to that, last week without him, they scored 0 points. if he suits up, I expect him to be used a lot in this game. And this is a team that you can hurt doing that. And we've seen he's, you know, explosive both running the ball and pass catching. And there's just so many opportunities against a bad Texans defense like this for him to take a 60, 70 yard, you know, either handoff or swing pass to the house. Again, you got to make sure he's playing. But in this lineup, and it's the only one I'm using, is I have DeAndre Swift, 6,500.
Yeah, I have him in two of mine. In one of them, I would just, I'd have the money left over where if he doesn't play, I could swap to like Zeke Elliott. So I'm not too worried about it. Yeah, Texans give up 5.4 yards per carry to running backs. They're dead last. They also give up 40 receiving yards per game to running backs. So, and Swift, outside of that, second to last play against Chicago week one, has been very good in the passing game as well. If he's a go, he's my favorite running back, like, overall. Obviously, I probably like Gibson more because you save the money, $500, but... Yeah, Swift, I think, is an awesome play if he plays. And it's interesting in that if I didn't put AP or, I'm blanking on the third running back.
Oh, right? Johnson.
Yeah, carry on. I didn't put them in any of my lineups. And if he's ruled out, I probably still won't. I just don't believe in either of those guys at all. Like, if someone wants to take a waiver on them, you can. But I'm assuming we'll get to this eventually. But if you end up in that situation, you can save the money and play Gus Edwards. So,
he's in my other two lineups.
Right. So to me, I love Swift. If he's playing, he's absolutely going to be in most, if not all, the lineups that I play on Thursday. But if he doesn't, I would just steer clear entirely of that backfield.
I completely sign off on that. the wide receivers for this lineup. So again, you've got Watson, Swift, and Gibson so far. I've got Brandon Cooks at 5,300. You can see I like the Texans a lot this week. He's coming off a four reception, 85-yard performance against New England. He is the clear number two option. Honestly, when you look at targets, he's actually number one. Fuller has a few more yards and a few more touchdowns, but he's averaging north of eight targets per game since week eight. His lowest scoring game in that time is 9.9 points, but he's averaging almost 18 during that six-game stretch. He has an extremely low floor, which is what I love about him, especially for a guy in this price game or price range in a three-game lineup. And then in their last two games against Washington and Carolina, the Lions secondary. And again, the Washington and Carolina do not have a murderer's row of wide receivers. Just to wide receivers, they give up 44 receptions for 497 yards and a touchdown. I love Cooks. I love Fuller. They're both in most of my lineups. I believe that, Cooks is in two of them. Fuller's in two of them. I love those guys. If you had to put a gun to my head, I'd probably play Cooks over Fuller because of the just consistency and the difference in price. You're getting them for 1,100 less. But as I'll get into Fuller when we get to him, he, I think, has a chance for a huge boom potential. But Brandon Cooks is my first receiver.
Yeah, I think I only used him in one lineup, but I think I have Fuller in all three. And to your point, I don't actually think there's a big difference in, like, the price difference. Normally, if they're playing on a Sunday, I'm not even considering Fuller. I'm playing Cooks in a bunch of lineups because there's no reason to spend $1,100. I liked Fuller this week just because I usually had money to play with. But, yeah, I love Cooks, averaging almost nine targets a game over the last 6 weeks. I mean, and again, if you're playing Watson, you absolutely have to have at least one of those guys in your lineup. There's no reason not to be stacking him with one of these receivers.
Well, it was like last night. I was so disappointed in myself. I did one of my best captain mode lineups ever, and I did two of them. One of them I barely cashed, and the other I missed. And in both of them, I actually had Woods and Kupp, and my dumbass went with the more expensive Brady over Jared Goff. And the reasoning behind that is just so idiotic, because thinking about it, it's like if you took both receivers, obviously you knew the quarterback was going to have to throw a little bit. And if I had Goff in, man, it would have been a great night for me. So lesson learned. my second receiver outside of Cook, and I believe I have him just in one lineup, but I like this play this week as kind of one of the sneakier, low-tier volume ones. Willie Sneed's 4,300. He has quietly become the Ravens' most reliable wide receiver since the first meeting with the Steelers. It was in that time he has 17 receptions on 25 targets for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns. In the previous game against the Steelers, he posted 5 catches for 106 yards. The Steelers' defense is really good, but they will give up passing yards. Before the Bengals game last week, where Burrow was injured in the first half, they had given up a touchdown in 7 straight games, and in 4 of those games, 2 touchdowns. They averaged giving up 13 receptions for 170 yards and 1.3 touchdowns per game. I think there's also a chance the Steelers get up early and the Ravens are playing from behind. That's why I like both Mark Andrews and Willie Snead, because I think they're the two guys, at least at from receiving the football, that have the most, you know, chance of having a big game. And again, they get enough targets and enough looks that I don't think they'll have a terrible game to kill you with, you know, such few options this week.
Yeah, I don't have him in any of my lineups, but if you're playing a wide receiver for Baltimore, I think he has to be the choice. I mean, I said last week, you know, this is a good opportunity for Marquise Brown to go off against the Titans, who have been susceptible to anything on in the passing game, the running game. They're not a good defense. He scored 0. So yeah. I'm honestly considering just dropping him in one of my season-long leagues. So there's no way I would play him. So he'll probably go off this week. But, yeah, I would steer absolutely clear of Brown. And I think Brown is still $100 more, or it's in that range. So if you're playing a Ravens receiver, I'm with you all the way there.
And they also say that Snead is the guy that when you play teams that blitz more and they play a lot of zone, which obviously that's what the Steelers do, he just seems to, you know, he runs mostly the routes that are going to kind of be in the middle of the field, get in between that zone. There are a lot of shorter routes. And if you just look over the season, most of his best games, including the Pittsburgh Steeler game, has came against teams that are more aggressive. They leave kind of the short passes over the middle of the field open. Again, I only have him in one lineup, and it was partly because I went so expensive at quarterback, running back, everything. But had to do it. So, again, so for this lineup so far, we have Deshaun Watson, Gibson, Swift, Cook, Snead, and then I'm going back to scary Terry McLaurin, $7,000. He let us down last week, but he did score 13.4 points. The bigger thing to me was he had 7 targets. He did have 5 catches for 84 yards. So he has a touchdown. That's a good game, or another 16 yards. It's a whole different game. He's averaging 19.7 points per game with Alex Smith under center. He's still averaging that 8 targets per game. He had a good game against Dallas earlier, 7 catches, 90 yards. The Cowboys secondary is maybe the one that's worse than my Atlanta Falcons, and that is saying something. In just their last 5 games, they've given up 52 receptions for 887 yards and 11 touchdowns to wide receivers. And for the season, they're averaging giving 13 receptions, 180 yards, and almost 2 touchdowns per game. And then, oh, by the way, this is the same team that allowed Odell Beckham to rush for 73 yards on 2 carries and a touchdown. I would not be surprised if the Redskins try to draw up something for McLaurin with an end-around or something, which he is very capable of doing. We saw what both Jefferson and Thielen did last week. The Redskins don't have a clear number two. I just think McLaurin is, you know, almost a must-play. Again, he's not in every lineup, but he's in 2 of them.
Yeah, I did put him in all 3. I think, especially if Swift doesn't play, I think McLaurin's the clear top, you know, flex guy this week on Thursday. 5 straight games with at least 5 receptions and 70 yards. He's giving you a minimum amount of production there where you're going to get your 10-plus, even if he doesn't score a touchdown. And Dallas has given up 19 touchdowns to wide receivers in the passing game, so that's not counting the OBJ run or anything else like that. So, I mean, there's a reason they're 31st against wide receivers on DraftKings. You know, again, considering how, you almost have to, like, you have to, like, really try to, like, max out your team.
Right.
You only have 3 games. At 7,000, yeah, he is a must play for me.
So the tight end for this lineup is Ebron, 4,100. In the first game against Baltimore, he had 4 catches, 48 yards, and a touchdown. He scored double figures in 4 of his last 5 games. He's averaging north of six targets during that game or time and scored three touchdowns. And then again, if you take away games against Cincy and Washington, in which tight ends had a combined three catches for 30 yards, in the other eight games, the Ravens have given up 40 receptions for 501 yards and five touchdowns. That's five receptions and 61 yards per game. If you look at it from that kind of standpoint, that is more of one of the worst pass defenses in the league against tight ends. And I mean, no offense, but the Bengals and Redskins, we love Logan Thomas. I got him in a lineup this week, but he's not, you know, a threat like Ebron is. I again think Ebron is probably going to have around that, exactly what they're saying. Five receptions, 60 yards. I see it somewhere in that range. So the floor is probably 8 to 10 points. And if you get lucky and he gets a touchdown, he gets you 14 to 15. And for 4,100, sign me up.
Yeah, I don't have him in any of mine, but I definitely thought about it. Again, tight end is a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Ebron has been a guy who's been able to get in the end zone pretty consistently. And like I said, Baltimore did a good job keeping a hold of the Pittsburgh receivers last time around. Again, none of them broke 15 points. So I think that, you know, they might be more susceptible to a tight end. So I probably like playing him more than most of the Pittsburgh receivers this week. So,
and you could call a tight end a crapshoot. I literally have a different tight end in all three lineups. Yeah, so, I same. Mean, it's just throwing shit against the wall. The flex in this lineup is Jones Jr. I love Jones Jr. if Golladay misses another game. If he doesn't, I probably will still go with him. But I just like him a lot more if Golladay does not play. He has four touchdowns over his last four games. He's averaging north of 17 points during that span. And he faces a Texan defense that gets gouged, gouged like regularly. Again, if you exclude the Browns game, that was a windstorm. The other four games of their last five, the D has allowed wide receivers to catch 62 passes for 807 yards and eight touchdowns. That's 15 receptions, 200 yards, and two touchdowns a game in the last four. I like Jones Jr. if Golladay doesn't play. I don't hate Hall for the Lions if you're looking for a cheap option to try to, you know, build up your price tag somewhere else. But again, this is mostly just matchup. And the fact I think the Lions are probably going to be down. I think they're going to be throwing. And, you know, Jones Jr. seems to find the end zone a lot. So for 5,500, I'm going to throw him in there.
Let's see. I have him in two of my lineups. Obviously, I agree if he's the number one receiver, that is better. But the reason I wouldn't be afraid to play him, even if Golladay is out there, is Houston really, again, they all have one good corner in Bradley Roby. And if Golladay is playing, I'm assuming Jones Jr. is going to see very little of Roby. That would leave him up against Vernon Hargraves, who's the 121st ranked corner on PFF.
Oh, so you're saying it would actually help if Golladay
played? It might.
No, that makes sense. I didn't think about that.
So, yeah, again, that's out of 125 corners that played enough for PFF to rank them. He's 121st. They ranked that as the third biggest advantage of any wide receiver corner matchup this entire week. So it's easily the biggest on Thursday. So I think Jones Jr. target share probably goes up if he's the number one. But he might have, you know, again, they're going to probably move the ball better if Golladay's out there. So the opportunities he gets might be worth more if Golladay plays. So I like him either way.
And then the defense I have for this lineup, and I'll go back over it, and then we'll let you go through your first one. The Washington Redskins, they're in two of my three lineups. Honestly, I thought about using them in all three, but I went with the Steelers in one lineup. They're 3,700. Their D is averaging almost 7 points per game over the last four, highlighted by the 17-point performance against the Cowboys. The biggest thing, and this is why I do have a few Cowboys in my lineups, but it scares me. They have 16 sacks in the last four games, and at least four in three of those four. And Dalton sometimes can hold on to football like my boy Matt Ryan. That could get ugly.
Yeah, I put them in two of mine. They're my favorite play overall on Thursday. They're third in adjusted sack rate and in total sacks on the year, first in passing yards allowed, sixth in defensive DVOA and total yards allowed. They're just a good all-around defense, and obviously this isn't the insane matchup it would be if Andy Dalton was not playing, but I mean, I'm not that afraid of the Cowboys with Andy Dalton, so I love this matchup.
Now, they shut down Zeke last time they played. Again, I don't know if it was DiNucci or, you know, who was the quarterback,
right,
but that probably played a part in it. And that was my point earlier when I asked, you know, who was quarterback. And because Dallas didn't score any points in that game, that meant that Washington didn't throw as much. And that's why I think in some ways Terry only had the line that he did, you know, for fantasy purposes. And we both have a good bit of Redskins. I actually hope the Cowboys do score at least some. And that's the great thing about the Washington with the sacks. And we know the Dalton will turn it over and the Redskins will create turnovers. That could be big for all of us. So, again, my first lineup is Watson at quarterback, 7,400. Gibson at running back, 6,000. Swift at running back, 6,500. Cooks at wide receiver, 5,300. Snead at wide receiver, 4,300. McLaurin at wide receiver at 7,000. Ebron at tight end for 4,100. Jones Jr. at flex for 5,500. And Washington is my defense for 3,700. And Joe, you can pick any of your lineups, and we'll just kind of do it the same way. I mean, obviously, we talked about them. Go ahead. And if not, we'll have a discussion about the guy if we have him in both of our lineups.
All right, so my first lineup shares a decent amount with that one. Watson at QB. One thing I'll add that I don't think we mentioned before on that is the one thing you really worry about with Watson in that offense is they can give up pressure. He can hold the ball too long. Lions are dead last in pressure rate, so nothing to worry about there. Gibson, I'm with you. I went with Duke Johnson, who's just been atrocious the last 2 weeks and has just been murdering my lineups that I've played in him. And he has 11.9 points over the last 2 weeks.
But if ever there was a week.
Right. Detroit's 31st against running backs on DraftKings. They are 30th in rushing yards allowed at 4.7 yards a carry. They've given up 14 touchdowns on the ground to running backs. And if it's Duke Johnson, they're also awful against running backs in the air. They give up 5 receptions for 50 yards per game. And they've given up 5 touchdowns. I don't have the numbers on, like, if that's dead last, but if it's not, it's close. So they're just awful in every way that you can defend running backs.
That's where I could see Johnson having a huge game. And while I mentioned if Swift is out in that first lineup, that's why I'm putting him in, even over guys like Connor, who I could afford. And I believe I actually even have enough in that one to play Elliott. But I just, you know, he's the kind of boom, you know, matchup you could have. And obviously, if it's 5 for 50 yards, they're going to make it an effort to throw him the ball. Like, they just are.
And the good thing about him being so awful the last 2 weeks is if he goes off this week, it's a good chance not that many people will play him, even though the matchup is good.
I completely, that is something that I love to see.
He's scary, Terry, again. He's in all of my lineups. And then, yeah, 2 of yours. He's awesome. I just went all in on the Texans in this lineup. I put Fuller in. He has at least 5 targets in 8 straight games. He has 6 touchdowns over that time. He scored at least 12 in all but one game during those 8 weeks. 3 of the times he's hit over 24, so he's capable of giving you a huge game. Lions have given up 185 yards per game to receivers. They've given up over 200 in each of the last 2 weeks. Amani Oruwariye, I probably mangled that. He's their only decent corner. They've already benched Jeffrey Okuda, who was the number 4 pick. And Desmond Trufant, whose return from injury allowed them to bench Okuda, is the 120th ranked corner on PFF.
There's a reason the Falcons let him go, and look how bad our secondary is.
So I don't think Detroit tends to shadow. If they do, then that's great news for Cooks, who is also in this lineup. But either way, one of those guys on every play is going to be lined up against someone they have a huge advantage over. So I love both of them.
For someone Fuller, too, you know, it was surprising when I looked up. He's had no game this season with more than 123 yards receiving and no games with more than 1 touchdown. I was in Houston last year for the game against the Falcon where he put up 14 catches for 230 yards and 3 touchdowns. He is somebody who is so explosive. It's honestly hard to believe he hasn't had a game, especially with the targets he gets, you know, the yardage, the level Watson's playing at, and he hasn't had that big, big game. This is the week to do it because the Lions defense is so bad. It's a big stage. And again, I'm not calling him to have, you know, a 14 catch or 230 yard and three touchdown day. Right. But I would not be surprised if he either went over that 123 yard total and had his highest receiving yards total all year, or he had his first game with two or more touchdowns. So there's a reason I have him two lineups. And again, Fuller, the big thing I love about him is there's such boom potential. Cooks, what I love about him is there's such a low, you know, floor. And right. he also has the ability. People forget Cooks is a speedster, too. I mean, Cooks get easy. It was like last week, what do you have, like three catches for 84 yards or something? So I love the Texans receivers. We have them both for our lineups.
Yeah, I think assuming Detroit is not playing the way they did last week on offense and is actually keeping a decent amount of pace with Houston, I think Fuller Cooks could be very much like Thielen Jefferson this last week, where one of them has a huge game and the other guy scores 18 and you're perfectly happy to have him in your lineup. And it could be either one. So, I mean, if you want to save money, go with Cooks. If you want to do both, like
but
I have.
But you wouldn't lineup, be kicking yourself fine. Like me last week because there's only $200 difference. And it's like, duh, Keith, you take Thielen. You talked about all the touchdowns he had scored. And he had the multiple touchdown game and all the yardage. I should have had him in every lineup. I had Jefferson in about half of them. And it's like, God, if I had Thielen with Allen who I had in every lineup, I mean, that's winning. That's winning.
Yeah, that was my one lineup that made me money. and then at tight end, I just said, screw it. I threw in Jordan Akins for Houston. At
That's 29. Not a terrible play.
Last week was his third week back from a concussion. He did not get the start. They've been rotating three tight ends, but he was the one who played the majority of offensive snaps. And I expect him to just continue to gain on that as he's returned. He had five receptions for 83 yards last week. Detroit's not generally awful against tight ends. But in this lineup, this is the one lineup where I really like went up to near, I ended up with $100 left over at the end. So if you need to save money at tight end, Akins at 2,900. I mean, again, this is a guy who could put up 80 yards. We've seen Watson, he threw to, what's his name? Fells. Yeah. While Akins was out, Fells had a couple big games. So he looks for the tight end too. So again, I'm all in on Watson. You're all in on Watson. So to me, put at least a couple of these guys on Houston in your lineups. There's no reason not to.
Then who's the flex?
And then flex, Jones Jr. We went over that. I think he's a good matchup either way. And then the Washington defense, who I put in two of my lineups. Like I said, when we were talking about them before, I think they're the best defensive play on Thursday.
So one more time, just go through that first lineup for us.
All right, so this first lineup was Watson at 7,400, Gibson at 6,000, Duke Johnson at 5,700, McLaurin at 7,000, Fuller at 6,400, Cooks at 53, Jordan Akins at 2,900, Jones Jr. is my flex at 5,500, and then the Washington defense at 3,700. So on that one, yeah, that was the one where I only had 100 left over, so there wasn't really anything for me to do there.
All right, so my second lineup, again, Watson, we talked about. Gibson is one of my running backs. We talked about him. Gus Edwards is my other running back, and he's in my last two lineups. He's only $4,000. COVID has sidelined both Dobbins and Ingram. Ironically, Edwards had his best game and fantasy point total of the year against the Steelers earlier this season, a game where he had 16 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown. He scored almost 15 points. The Steelers' run D is really good. I mean, their defense is good. But the thing for me is you're getting this volume for this price on a team that you know is going to want to run in that game because they know if they get behind, and unfortunately if Lamar has to throw, that's bad, especially against a Pittsburgh defense that can, you know, get pressure on the quarterback, can take the ball away. For $4,000, you can't pass that up. I mean, he may end up leading – all the running backs and carries this week, and you're getting him for $4,000.
Yeah, I'm just really upset that he's playing on Thursday because I would love to have a starting running back on a decent offense for $4,000 on Sunday.
Right.
It doesn't help nearly as much on Thursday. That's why I only ended up with him in one lineup, but I think he's... you know, I think he's a very good play. I'd take him over some of the other higher priced guys. I also wouldn't rule out Justin Hill also at 4,000.
Okay.
He hasn't seen like any playing time on offense this year because they've had three backs ahead of him. But he's an explosive guy. He's got a lot of speed. He will probably be the one primarily handling the receiving.
He was the one that had a bunch of touchdowns last. Didn't he have like 4 or 5 touchdowns last year in a short period?
Let's see. He only scored 2 last year.
Okay.
But I mean, they gave him 50 rushes last year, so it's not like they think he's totally garbage or anything. And I believe Gus Edwards only has, let me see here, 3 receptions on the year, and he's been playing.
I did notice that.
So
he had 9 in the week that he had 16 carries.
So if Pittsburgh does take a lead and they're going to the pass more, I think Justin Hill could be a reasonable play. I don't have him in any of my lineups, though, just because, again, it's hard to get max out these lineups when it's only 3 games. If this was Sunday, I'd be all in on Edwards. I'd probably have Hill in some lineups. Thursday, I'll probably have Edwards in 1 or 2. I'm not going to have Hill, though. But I don't think he's an awful play if you are confident that you think Pittsburgh is going to take an early lead in that game.
All right, so the receivers for this lineup, I have Fuller, who we just discussed, at 6,400. And then this is where I change it up a little bit. This lineup is the most different. I have CeeDee Lamb at 5,400. I had Lamb in my lineup last week. He scored 16.6 points. And this is all about, because it's not a great matchup, but I love how much the Cowboys made an effort to get him involved. He had 6 targets, 2 carries. And the most important thing to me was he had 2 red zone targets, 3 if you count the 2-point conversion that he caught. The first 2 times the first time these 2 teams faced off, Lamb had by far his worst game of the year, but he has 8 games in double figures. He has 6 with 15 or more. The Redskins are a good secondary, but the strength of their defense is pass rush. And I believe this will mean more quick throws. And I think it's safe to say Lamb is the biggest beneficiary of that, of their receiving core. If that is the case, Dalton is more accurate than whatever quarterback they had in the first one.
Right.
I really did like what I saw out of Lamb last week. I know people look at it and go, 5 catches for 34 yards and a touchdown. It's like, yeah, but he had 6 targets. And again, he's getting the ball in the red zone, which is a really big thing. He ran it twice. I mean, they're going to get him the ball. And for 5,400, and, you know, again, this is a lineup where I had to go a little bit lower on the receivers. I think that, you know, he's got obviously a big boom or bust play, but it's really not that big a boom or bust play. He's only had 2 games that he hasn't scored, again, 15 or more points. So I do like Lamb a lot this week.
I didn't end up hitting, I think, any non-Zeke Elliott Cowboys in any of my lineups. But you know, I think we said this last week when you were talking about Lamb. You know, I think he's right. He's 1B to Amari Cooper. So, I mean, I don't know that the price differences matter as much this week, but considering the price difference, he'd be the wide receiver I'd go with. And, you know, if we're right about Washington's, or at least about Washington's offense being able to put up points on Dallas, you're going to assume they're going to have to pass the ball a decent amount. And yep. I think that's a good point about the quick passing game as well. So he's not in my lineups, but I have nothing against playing CeeDee Lamb in any lineups on Thursday.
So my other wide receiver in this lineup is Chase Claypool at 6,100. Since Claypool's breakout performance in week 5 versus Philly, he scored 14 or more points in 5 of the 6 games since and scored 5 touchdowns. He's also coming off 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games. He's top 4 scoring games have all came at home, which, in case you haven't wondered, that's where they're playing this week. And if I had an extra $100, I would have played his teammate Johnson here, but I didn't. And they do average around the same points per game. Johnson gets more targets and receptions, but Claypool has a much better chance of scoring. Johnson has a lot lower floor. I feel like Claypool has a lot higher ceiling. And again, I didn't have the extra $100, so I had no choice. But I would not be afraid to roll the dice in either one of these. Now, Claypool actually had a decent game in the first performance to where Johnson did not. But that still does not scare me with Johnson this week because he's Deontay freaking Johnson. But I have Claypool in this lineup, Johnson in the other at 6,100.
Yeah, I steered clear of the Pittsburgh guys just because they're actually now getting to the point where they're at like proper values.
Right.
We finally saw Deontay. Now he's over 6,000. So I didn't end up going with any of them, but obviously, you know, like I've said multiple times, none of them broke 15 last time, but two of them did break 10. So it's not like they got shut out. And I think Deontay did pretty much get shut out in that first game, but he was pretty banged up. And we've seen anytime he's healthy, he's getting 10 plus targets. So with how much Pittsburgh relies on the quick passing game, you know, I don't have anything against playing those guys. I just like to value a little differently this week. But, I mean, Deontay's been our savior.
He is the man.
Come through, like, every week we've picked him. And we've seen, you know, if Claypool gets the opportunities, that guy takes advantage of him. So, that's, again, another one where not where I went. But, you know, when you're dealing with just three games.
Yep. You got to pick your guys and go with it.
Yeah, you just got to roll with it, exactly.
So the tight end in this one, and this was pretty much because of the money, but I went with Logan Thomas. I know what anybody who has listened to this podcast from the beginning is saying, Keith, you're going back to Logan Thomas. When I pick him, he does absolutely nothing. Pick him, he has a good game. I mean, it is literally, when I pick him, he has a bad game. When I don't, he has a good. I'm sure some people are cussing me for even taking him this week because they were going to put him in their lineups, but it is what it is. But Thomas had his best game of the season in this matchup from a week, their earlier matchup. He caught all four targets for 60 yards and a touchdown. Dallas is not a terrible defense against tight ends, but in six games, they have given up four receptions or more to tight ends. And five of those, the team has also scored a touchdown. I think Logan Thomas is probably going to get 4 to 6 catches. If he does, history tells you, at least for this season, that he's probably going to score a touchdown against Dallas for 3,500. If he gets 10 points or more, I'm thrilled for 3,500 because this is a lineup that I was able to get McLaurin in. I was able to get Fuller in. I was able to get Gibson in, Watson, CeeDee Lamb, Claypool, Terry McLaurin. And then my defense is the Steelers, which we hadn't talked about. The Steelers D has scored 7 or more points in every game but one. Quietly, they are really good on defense. I didn't realize their defense was this good for fantasy purposes. They scored 18 points the last meeting versus the Ravens. The Ravens' offense is obviously struggling, especially if they get behind, which is a possibility. A road game in Pittsburgh is probably not the best way to get the offense back on track. Pittsburgh on this evening is averaging 11 points per game, but even more at home with 12.5 points per game. The Steelers just in general play better at home. If you look at, you know, their schedule is not really that divided up with, you know, tough teams at home, you know, weak teams away, but their performances are better pretty much across the board at home compared to away. That's the thing that makes me the most leery about the Ravens. It's the reason I didn't go with Lamar. It's the reason I only have, you know, I think one lineup with Andrews, two with Edwards, because I think they are going to try to run it. And obviously, one with the receiver, but the Steelers at 4,200, I think it's probably the safest play, correct? Or do you think the Redskins is a safer play?
I like Washington as probably a little bit safer just because it's Andy Dalton versus Lamar Jackson. But, I mean, I could see Baltimore having an okay game. I don't think they're going to light up this Pittsburgh defense. So, if you have the money, I have no issue with doing that. I didn't in any of mine, but like you said, Pittsburgh might be the best. They probably are the best defense in the league. So
how good does that Fitzpatrick trade look from 2 years ago that everybody just gave them so much crap about it? And the contract is nothing. I was reading yesterday that they still only owe him like $3 and $4 million the next 2 years. It was a steal. And I mean, it really changed their defense. So just to go over this lineup real quick, and then you can go over yours. Second one. We have Watson, 7,400, Gus Edwards, 4,000, Antonio Gibson, 6,000, Fuller at 6,400, CeeDee Lamb at 5,400, Claypool at 6,100, Logan Thomas, 3,500, Terry McLaurin, 7,000, and the Steelers, 4,200. What's your second lineup, Joe?
All right, so my second lineup, I went with Alex Smith again. Last week, he really made me look bad. I said he was the rare, safe, low-cost play, and he scored like 8 points. But again, Dallas, 24 touchdowns passing to 3 interceptions.
It was also unlucky that Burrow got hurt. I mean, obviously right, not that, just for Burrow, but that changed the game plan. They were controlling it. Just I don't really think they tried to do anything other than just pretty much run out the clock in the second half.
And Dallas, 5 straight games, they've given up at least 2 passing touchdowns. 8 of the 10 games total, they've played multiple passing scores. So again, 5,400. If you're not going to spend the money on Watson, this is, might be my favorite play over Stafford for a different guy, just because I am worried about Stafford's thumb. I don't know how that, if that's going to improve. If
I'll crazy to say too, I think I like Washington's weapons better.
Yeah, if Galladay and Swift don't play, then it's not even close.
I think if Galladay doesn't play, it's still not close. I mean, you got Gibson, who is, you know, turning into a stud. I love McLaurin. Yeah. If you look, Sims has caught a touchdown 2 straight weeks. You know, that they do have, you know, some playmakers.
So, yeah, then I went with Zeke. I think this is the only lineup I put him in, although there is another lineup where I have DeAndre Swift where I could swap him out if he doesn't play for Zeke. You know, Zeke obviously hasn't been giving people what they were hoping for this year, but a lot of that is the quarterback situation. He had 3 straight, up until last week, he had 3 straight games under 10 points, but those were the 3 games where Dalton got hurt in the first one, and then he was stuck with Harrell and DiNucci in the other 2. So teams were obviously loading up to stop him. In every game where it's been Dak or Dalton, he scored 10+. You know he's going to be getting the carries. That's why I like him over like James Conner. I wouldn't try to save the 600 because we've seen Conner, he gets vultured for touchdowns. That happened last week.
Mm-hmm.
Zeke's going to be the guy. He's involved. And Washington's run defense is pretty solid. They only give up 4 yards per carry. They've only given up 5 touchdowns on the ground, though 3 in the air, so there's some opportunity there.
What's the best way to stop a pass rush, though?
Right. Best way to stop a pass rush. And while their run game's been solid, they are middle of the pack in total rushing yards allowed. They've let my Giants run for like 140.
Which is so crazy. Gallman, Freeman, you know.
Yeah, so especially if DeAndre Swift isn't playing and you're looking at these running backs, I mean, Zeke's the guy, you know he's getting the carries. He's going to get some passes thrown his way. So as
I think
long
he has a great history too on Thanksgiving, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know for sure, but that just feels true.
If not, I'm going to say it is.
So I got Zeke in this lineup, Gibson and McLaurin again. I actually went with Cam Sims at wide receiver here at 3,300.
I like it.
I think it's 100 more than Steven Sims. They've seen very equal. They've seen relatively equal number of targets over the last few weeks. But Sims has been playing significantly more of the snaps. So he's been consistently playing like 70%+ of the snaps, where Steven Sims has been down around 50-50 whenever they go 3 wide. So he is the number 2 guy there. And again, this one I threw Alex Smith in. So if I'm going to throw Alex Smith in, I may as well just throw McLaurin and Cam Sims in and just go all out. I went Fuller because, again, I think you got to have at least one of the Texans wide receivers in every single lineup that you play on Thursday. I think it's crazy to do otherwise. Because I went with Cam Sims and Alex Smith, who cost absolutely nothing, I went Mark Andrews, 5,200 at tight end.
I have Pittsburgh, him in the lineup.
Pittsburgh's the number 1 defense on DraftKings against tight ends. But, I mean, he played New England, who has really screwed me over a couple times, where I think I picked, was it Kelsey 1 week? And I know I picked Waller, and I was like, oh, they're matchup proof. And New England shut them down. He had 7 receptions for 61 yards against New England. Again, Nick Boyle is out, so he's getting all the tight end snaps. We've seen him score 13 and 21 the last 2 weeks. He's gotten over 5 receptions or 60 yards at least in both games. I just think they're going to be feeding him the ball no matter what. I went with Swift, 6,500.
Real quick on Andrew, so that way I don't have to do it in the last lineup. Yeah, I completely agree. I may try to find a way to put him in another lineup, potentially even as a flex, because you know the more I think about it, it's the first time since week 5 he had back-to-back double-digit games. You talked about that. His targets are up. He's had 16 targets the last 2 games, 9 and 7, so they're making an effort to get him the ball. And I think it's just Baltimore's realized he's their best receiver. Like, No offense to Willie Snead, no offense to Brown, but it's
absolutely.
If you look at the last two seasons, Lamar has the most success throwing to Mark Andrews. It was surprising they didn't kind of force it to him this year with all the touchdowns he had last year. And I just think there's going to be an effort to get him the ball. And then the other big thing is he has by far the highest ceiling of any tight end. I mean, any tight end playing Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you could argue for anybody that's a receiver or tight end, he's probably in the top five or six for ceiling because, again, Andrews just seems to be one of those guys that when he has a good game, he seems to have a really good game. And, again, for 5,200, I mean, you're talking about 100 less than Brandon Cooks. You're talking, you know, a little bit, I think 100 or 200 more than CeeDee Lamb, or excuse me, 200 less than CeeDee Lamb. You're talking 900 less than Claypool. You're just getting a guy that I just think that they're going to try to get him the ball. And again, I do think the Ravens are in trouble in this game. They're going to be down. That's going to lead to more throwing. It's going to lead to more opportunities. I have him in that last lineup, but he is somebody I'm considering putting in some other lineups that I do, or maybe even changing the ones that I have before kickoff.
Yeah, again, like if you have the money, I don't know why. Like, don't try to overthink the matchup at tight end. If you have the money, take the best tight end.
Just look at the other guys, right? Like, I mean, right. Hockenson, I guess, and Ebron would be the, you know, the next two most talented guys, but their numbers, like their highest games are 15, 16, you know, points. And then, you know, that's maybe one game to where Andrews, I think, has had four or five games of, you know, 14 points or more.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I went Swift for my flex here at 6,500. Again, he was trending up. Houston's dead last against running backs on DraftKings. So if he plays, I love him, especially even more so because of the Stafford injury. And if he doesn't play, again, he's 6,500 this week. If you can replace him with basically anyone you want. On this lineup I filled out, I had $700 left over. So I literally could just put in any flex guy there to replace him. Not worried about it. Defense, I went with the Texans at 2,700. I don't love the Texans defense because they're not good. But they do get a decent amount of pressure. Because they still, you know, they still have J.J. Watt out there.
Maybe Stafford doesn't play. Who knows?
Again, Detroit scored 0 points last week against Carolina, who is probably a better defense than Houston, but by no means a good defense, not even an average one. So if you need, so the thing here was I had $700 left over, but that wasn't enough to get the Steelers or Washington, who are the two defenses I love this week. I have absolutely no interest in Detroit.
The Texans are going to score.
Dallas, I don't like them at all. The Ravens are a really good defense, so if you wanted to play them, you could. But Pittsburgh is actually, and this tells you how much they're going on that quick passing game. They're number one in sack rate on offense. And Ben Roethlisberger is a guy who likes to generally take the sacks and hold the ball. So they're getting the ball out quick. That's going to limit the opportunities for a defense. So if you don't have the money for Washington or Pittsburgh, I think Houston's the play at 2,700. So that's I'll go over the whole lineup here.
Yeah, that's just a real quick. So that we'll
and again, this is a lineup where I had 700 left over. So if you wanted to throw a little extra money somewhere, you could. But Alex Smith, 5,400. I have Zeke at 68. Gibson at 6,000, McLaurin at 7,000. Yeah, I'm just, again, those two are in every lineup I have. Cam Sims at 3,300. Fuller at 64. Andrews at 52. Swift at 65. And the Texans at 2,700. I think you could go from Cam Sims to Marvin Hall because I'm with you.
He can. He's 4,000. I looked
at him. So if someone likes Marvin Hall more, I think that's a reasonable play if Galladay is not out there.
And what I like about when you have $700 left over is the flexibility. I mean, if something, you know, happens, there's a late game scratch or whatever, you get a lot of options because basically outside of defense, you can pretty much get any player you want by just, you know, changing out one guy. For my last lineup, most of these guys we've talked about, Deshaun Watson, Gibson is my running back. So we got 7,400 Watson, 6,000 Gibson. I'm going back to Edwards at 4,000. Fuller at 6,400. Again, we talked about the other two receivers are where it's different. I've got Deontay Johnson, 6,200. Mm-hmm. He had by far his worst game of the season in the first matchup with Baltimore. But in the three games since then, he has 37 targets, 24 receptions, over 300 yards, and a touchdown. I believe in Deontay Johnson. And I think at home, where he is another guy that his home numbers are better than his road numbers, I just think that he's going to have a bounce back. And I actually have, if I had that again, that extra 100, I wouldn't even have Claypool in the other lineup. I'd have Johnson in both. I am not the least bit concerned about Johnson having like a 0.1 point performance against Baltimore the first time. That was a nasty game. It was muddy. There was a little bit of rain. It was in Baltimore. This is going to be home in Pittsburgh. I think he's going to have a game where he's going to get 10 to 12 targets. You can't get that. And just about any of these receivers, even on the teams that they throw a lot. So I'm not worried about that. And I know you're not going to say anything disparaging about Deontay Johnson,
I'm not loving Deontay this week, but I never less than like Deontay Johnson in a lineup until they put him at like 7,000. Until then.
I agree with you. It's just like when Keenan Allen gets to 8, which is it's coming.
That is coming.
Amari Cooper is right now the third receiver. Now, I this is somebody I may change to CeeDee Lamb, but, you know, looking at it, he's 5,700. So he's only a few hundred more than Lamb. And he is very quietly on pace to set a new career high in receptions, yards. He scored double figures in 4 straight with 3 different quarterbacks, which is really impressive. And there is more stability with Dalton back under the helm. And the first matchup with whoever the hell they had at quarterback, it was a bad one. He caught all 7 targets. He had 7 receptions for 80 yards. He has 65 receptions on the season and only 2 touchdowns. Honestly, I feel kind of like what I did about Keenan Allen a month ago. And, you know, talking about it's unbelievable, guys, getting this amount of targets, this amount of receptions, and has this few touchdowns. Keenan Allen has scored a touchdown in all 4 games since I said this. Maybe I can start something here with Amari Cooper because, again, you're getting a guy for 5,700 that has 65 receptions on the season. I mean, he's averaging 6.5 receptions a game. You know, I just think for that and the fact that touchdowns will come, I just do not believe a guy that's going to catch well over 100 balls is going to end up with 4 touchdowns on the season or whatever he's on pace for. It's actually probably less than that. So at 5,700, he's my third receiver. I don't feel great about it, but I do feel like he's another guy that his floor is not, you know, too bad. Like his floor is going to be 10 to 12 points. He just has not had any really big games. We talked about Mart Andrews. He's my tight end. I have Brandon Cooks at my flex. Washington is my D. So, again, that third lineup is Deshaun Watson, 7,400. Gibson, 6,000. Gus Edwards, 4,000. Will Fuller, 6,400. Deontay Johnson, 6,200, Cooper, 5,700, Andrews, 5,200, Cooks, 5,300 at flex, and Washington D at 3,700. And if you'll notice, I had my players, and, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do this, but I just feel like that I'm confident enough in guys like Deshaun Watson, Antonio Gibson, the 2 receivers from the Texans, and the Redskins defense that, yes, I mixed it up a little bit from there. But if you look at it, those guys are basically in all my lineups. And then I'm trying to sprinkle it in, kind of like what we do in our podcast week to week, where I want to try to get the right set of combo with the guys that I'm most confident are going to, I think, have the best games.
Yeah. Let's see. We've gone through most of my guys. Let's see. I'm Stafford on this one. Again, it's risky because of that torn ligament in his throwing thumb. Obviously did not look great last week. But again, Houston, dead last in QB rating, allowed 19 touchdowns to 2 picks, bottom 10 in yards per allowed and completion percentage. If Galladay and Swift are out there, then I'd feel better about this. If even one of them's out there, I'd feel better about it. So again, Watson's the only safe play, I think. But if you're trying to do something a little different, I think there is opportunity with Stafford. I want Gibson, Edwards is my running backs, McLaurin and Fuller is my wide receivers. And Jones Jr. Well, again, if you're playing Stafford, no reason not to have Jones Jr. in there. For that same reason, I put Hockenson in. Again, Hockenson has had 1 bad week against Washington, at least 9.3 points every other week, which doesn't sound amazing, but for tight
ends. He's the Ebron of the NFC. I mean, he's very consistent. Like, he hasn't had any huge games, but he hadn't really had any real stinkers either.
Right, exactly. He's never topped 20 this year, but again, only once has he gone below 9, and that's like
huge.
That's like a
especially
miracle.
Especially something like this. I mean, think about the week that we're doing. You only basically have 6 tight ends to pick from. That, you know, it does scare me a little bit. I don't have him in any of my lineups.
And then, yeah, he has 5 receiving touchdowns. ESPN has their opportunity adjusted touchdown rankings, which look at like where you're getting the ball, how many touchdowns you'd be expected to score. He's 25th in the entire league in expected touchdowns scored. So that's counting running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and even quarterbacks who run the ball. So like Josh Allen's ahead of him. But again, 25th out of every player in expected offensive touchdowns this year. So he is a guy who gets those opportunities. So, again, if you're going to play Stafford, no reason not to have Jones Jr. and Hockenson. I also have Swift in this lineup, but I had $400 left over. So, again, that literally means I could play anyone else there because I already have McLaurin at 7,000. Every other guy is in range. So, if Swift couldn't play, I could throw in Zeke. I could throw in James Conner, any of those Pittsburgh receivers.
That's a lineup, too, that you could go to Gibson, right, and then with the extra money actually play Watson, right?
Let's see. Well, I already had Gibson in the lineup.
Oh, is he your flex?
Yeah. Gibson was one of my running backs.
Oh,
I went through
it
so fast. So, but yeah, if you wanted to drop one of these guys down, you could probably find the money to get up there. And then the Washington defense, because again, if you have the money, no reason not to go with one of the two defenses that I'm not afraid of playing this week.
One more time, go through that lineup, Jeff.
So that's Stafford at 5,800. Gibson at 6,000, Gus Edwards at 4,000, Terry McLaurin at 7,000. Again, I'm putting him and Gibson in all my lineups. Fuller at 6,400. So, yeah, if you drop from Fuller to Cooks and then drop Swift down a little bit, then you would be able to get up to Deshaun Watson. So, again, there's a lot you can do when it's only 3 games.
I do like, though, the running backs and receivers, including the flex that you have with that Stafford and Smith lineup, because obviously you're able to kind of load up on all the guys.
So then, yeah, Jones Jr. is my third wideout at 5,500. Hockenson at 4,700. Swift at 6,500. And again, with this lineup, you can change to anyone else if he doesn't play. And then Washington at 3,700.
And that definitely is one where you could change right from Hockenson to Andrews, I think, with that 500, correct?
Let's see, it was 400, so it's 100 short.
Oh, it's 100 short.
Again, I don't think there's a huge difference between Fuller and Cooks, and then that gives you so much money to play with. So,
I like the flexibility in your lineups compared to mine. But again, if you're going to go with Watson, and honestly, I will say that in some ways I like Joe's thinking better, because honestly, quarterbacks are typically the one that even the best quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or whatever, there is normally, you know, one out of every 6-7 quarterbacks is going to score around those points for a lot cheaper. And this could be a similar situation because Watson is, you know, the most expensive. I do not trust Lamar Jackson or Ben Roethlisberger, honestly, for what they cost.
I don't fully trust anyone who's not Watson.
Right. But, I mean, also, I think the point is just, you know, I think you should either go one of the lower guys or Deshaun Watson, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like what it costs you to play the other two guys. There's just still so much uncertainty. All right. So, this was different, but I enjoyed it. I hope you did. Do you got anything you want to plug before we get out of here? I know we will get together, just so people know, probably Friday to do the normal podcast for the Sunday-Monday games.
I don't think I have anything to plug. Just, you know, don't have a huge Thanksgiving unless you live with like 12 other people.
This is the first time that I'm not going to have fried turkey in well over a decade. And it's really making it kind of depressing, man. Like, honestly, I'm trying to explain it because my in-laws, I don't think they've had fried turkey. I'm like, if you've never had fried turkey, you don't understand. And it's
I've had fried turkey.
Oh my God, dude, Joe, when COVID's over, you're coming to Atlanta, or either I'm coming up there and we'll deep fry a turkey. Cause
that sounds awesome.
It's life changing for real. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, if you like turkey, or love turkey, It's by far the best way to eat it. It's unbelievable for like the week after. Just make sure it's not frozen when you put it in that fryer or
Right, I
the.
have heard about
I mean, it's
that.
literally a bomb going off. So, but I do just really want to quickly plug the IBN podcast network. There's a bunch of cool stuff coming out on it all throughout the week. Alan's doing the backdoor cover by himself, being gracious enough to let me and Joe spend time on the Fantasy Football podcast. RC's, posting podcasts as always. And then they do an NFL show on Sunday mornings on the Facebook group. That's IBN Sports. It's fantastic. I listen to it every week when I'm getting ready, to set out my lineups or unfortunately do my tinker stinker of the week and change stuff. So, but Joe, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. And we will be back Friday for the next episode of the Weekly Daily Fantasy Football Podcast.